you might, as you're ready, just find a comfortable posture. And maybe right away, to get in touch with the body, take a nice deep inhale, filling up the lungs. And a slow exhale, letting go. Settling your attention more and more in the body, in this moment, right here, right now. Maybe discovering that place in the body where your attention on the breath most naturally wants to land. So again, it could be the nostrils, throat, chest, belly. It could be the full breath or the sense of the body expanding and contracting. On each exhale, consciously letting the body settle a little more. Letting the shoulders drop. Noticing the center of the palms, allowing the center of the palms to soften and open. If you haven't already, just allowing the breath to be felt naturally in the body. And if there's still some control, no worries at all, just following the flow of the breath. Letting the breath, especially the exhale, calm the mind and body a little more, letting go. Even really sense into your sit bones. Really allow yourself to feel held by the earth. You might imagine the whole skeleton, letting the skin and muscles around the skeleton soften, let go a little. Allowing the earth to hold you. This next practice is a meditation I dearly love that helps us to develop a sense of equanimity or balanced awareness, which you might recall is considered the fruit of our whole practice. This is because it's exactly what our practice is aiming at, which is finding calm in the middle of all three of the characteristics, right in the center of all of this change and impermanence. Equanimity, or upekkha in the Pali language, is so important that it has often been referred to as the doorway to liberation. The doorway to liberation. Great teacher Joseph Goldstein says one could argue that, quote, the whole path to enlightenment rests on the maturing of this powerful, beautiful factor. In the suttas, the Buddha describes the equanimous mind as abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill will. the Dalai Lama has called it immeasurable impartiality. Immeasurable impartiality. The Indian philosopher Krishnamurti tells us, when the mind is still, tranquil, not seeking any answer or solution, neither resisting or avoiding, it is only then that there can be a regeneration, because then the mind is capable of perceiving what is true, and it is the truth that liberates, not our effort to be free. It is the truth that liberates, not our effort to be free. And so this practice we're going to be doing is based on a quote from the equanimity teachings of a Thai Buddhist monk, Ajahn Jumnian, who wrote these words as a way of teaching. So when people say Ajahn, let's go for a beautiful walk. Fine, I'll go. If they don't ask, that's fine too. I don't expect a walk to be any more satisfying than sitting alone. It might be hot or windy out there. If people bring me delicious food, great. If they don't, great. I need to diet anyway. If I'm feeling good, that's okay. If I'm sick, that's okay too. It's a great excuse to lie down. So the idea here is really in the words of Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh, this is it. This is it. This is the way it is right now. Remembering that our dukkha, our suffering, disappointment, frustration, and fear comes from our wanting and not wanting things to be exactly how we want them or don't want them. Before I continue, I want to remind us that letting be what we cannot change is not to be confused with indifference to the way our lives are. Because a sense of indifference carries a kind of aversion to it, right? Which can include a tendency to shut down, suppress, cover over, instead of opening the heart to what's here right now. So throughout this meditation, I want to encourage you to keep an emphasis on nurturing a sense of okayness or nothing wrong with yourself. According to the Tibetan tradition, which I was originally trained in, we are all made of Buddha nature and are really all okay exactly as we are right now. Underneath all the clouds of our beliefs and perceptions, the brilliant sun of our being is actually always shining and clear and fully awake. So as you're ready, I want to invite you right now to think about some kind of newness or change that causes you just some slight stress or worry, nothing major, maybe fear of new surroundings or entering a new place, maybe fear that the weather might not be how we want it, fear of not being somewhere on time, not doing something right, talking to someone new. Just consider some kind of newness or change. And if you're ready for it, you could choose something that's a little bigger. It's really your choice. Something that causes you some stress and worry, some change, newness. Think of one thing. And really notice how you've lived with this fear. Where do you carry it? Really let it be seen again and known. So don't minimize it. Actually let it be seen in its fullness, this fear. If it's helpful, you can place one hand or both on the heart, or one hand on the heart and one on the belly. You get in touch with the heart, the body. And then you might recall Ajahn's words. Say something to yourself like, if this thing that I fear transpires the way I want or would like it to, that would be great. If it doesn't, that will really be okay too, because either way, I am and I really will be okay. Just noticing without any judgment what happens in the mind, heart, and body as you silently repeat these words in the mind. If this thing that I fear transpires the way I want or would like it to, that would be great. If it doesn't, that will really be okay too, because either way, I am and I really will be okay. If there's resistance arising, you might reflect on the fact that our lives are inevitably a mix of pleasant and unpleasant experience, that things very often transpire in ways that are unwelcome and unpleasant, and that resistance only increases our own suffering by adding the unpleasantness of resistance to an already unpleasant experience. See if you can try on the phrasing again. If this thing that I fear transpires the way I want it to, that would be great. If it doesn't, that will really be okay too, because either way, I am and I really will be okay. You might even consider, how long am I willing to hold on to this fear? Or maybe, how is holding on truly serving me? No right or wrong answer, just an inquiry. You're ready now. I'm going to switch it up a little bit and invite you to recall something you really want in your life right now and are afraid you won't ever get. Something you really want in your life right now and you're afraid you won't ever get. And again, if it's helpful, you can place one hand or both on the heart, or one hand on the heart, one on the belly. To get in touch with this wanting, which again is in no way wrong. The wanting is not wrong. Again, you might let your wanting be seen and known and full. And how is it being held in the body? That longing, thirst, etc. Let it be known. And then with as much kindness and compassion as you can muster, can you use the phrasing of Ajahn again by saying something to yourself like, if I'm able to obtain this thing that I really want, that would be great. If I cannot or I am unable, that will really be okay too, because either way, I am and I will be okay. You might even try on, if I am able to obtain this thing I really want, that would be great. If I cannot or I'm unable, I can learn to accept that and decide how best to relate and respond. Either way, I am and I really will be okay. Remembering the wanting is in no way wrong. It's simply the attachment to the outcome that is so often the cause of our suffering. And if painful feelings or thoughts are present, see if you can allow them to just be, rather than trying to let them go, holding yourself with compassion for having the feelings themselves, and then trying on the phrasing again. Either way, I am and I really will be okay. See how that feels. To lean into the truth of that. You might even consider, how long am I willing to hold on to this fear of not getting that, or how is it truly serving me? No right or wrong answer. I'm going to switch it up again, so letting that go. I'm going to invite you now to begin to think of someone or some situation in your life that you're afraid won't ever change. Something or someone in your life that you're afraid won't ever change. And again, let that be known, let that be seen and held. How are you carrying that fear? Where does it live in the body, mind, and heart? And as you're ready, you might silently think something to yourself like, if this person or situation in my life changes, that would be great. If this person or situation does not change, I can learn to accept that and decide how best to relate and respond. Either way, I am, and I really will be okay. If this person or situation in my life changes, that would be great. If this person or situation does not change, I can learn to accept that and decide how best to relate and respond. Either way, I am, and I really will be okay. Holding whatever resistance or painful feelings with kindness and compassion without trying to break through. Just noticing whatever's arising with kindness. Might even consider, how long am I willing to hold on to this fear? Or how is it serving? Again, no right or wrong answer. And as you're ready now, I'm going to switch it up one more time. I'm going to invite you now to think of someone or some situation that you're afraid will change. Some person or situation that you're afraid will change. And again, let it be known. Feel where you've been holding this fear in the mind, heart, or body. How are you living with this? Can it be seen? Not trying to change it, just see it. And you can try on the phrasing of Ajahn again. If this person or situation in my life doesn't change, that would be great. If this person or situation does change, I'm willing to learn to accept that and decide how best to relate and respond. Either way, I am, and I really will be okay. if this person or situation in my life doesn't change, that would be great. If this person or situation does change, I'm willing to learn to accept that and then decide how best to relate and respond. Either way, I am and I really will be okay. Reminding yourself that worry and fear are just arising and passing emotions, and that the stressful stories that accompany them can also arise and pass. It might also be helpful to recall Mark Twain's famous words, "I've lived a long life and seen a lot of hard times, most of which never happened." If this person or situation in my life does not change, that would be great. If this person or situation does change, I am willing to learn to accept that and to decide how best to relate and respond. Either way, I am and I really will be okay. Again, you might consider, how long am I willing to hold on to this fear? Or how is it truly serving? No judgment, no right or wrong answer. Finally, I'd like to invite you now to see if you can let go of all your thoughts around wanting or not wanting. And just allow yourself to focus on the feeling of equanimity itself. So this means allowing yourself to just rest in the brilliant sun of your being, which is always shining and bright and clear underneath all the clouds of wanting and not wanting, all of those stories and beliefs. Would it be possible to rest in that sense of, either way, I am and I really will be okay? To really sense and just imagine that this is true, even for a moment. Either way, I am, and I really will be okay.